So Can Week. Welcome back. It's the Kaufman Show on TSN 690. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. It's like the post-game show for everything right now. World Series Game 5 was just played. Red Sox took it. Of course, the Habs won 2-0. We can extend that post-game show a little bit if you want to keep the Habs love fest going on. Monday Night Football, which we did not bring you tonight on TSN Radio, but, well, if you had the Rams plus the points, you're looking okay. Seahawks win on another mediocre Monday Nighter that costs ESPN $111 million. Hello, Jay.
Hello, Dave.
How are you, sir?
Good, good, good. Nobody keeping up in the world of canasta right now?
Because the post-game canasta show, that would be riveting stuff.
It would be.
Yeah.
It would be.
Which one's canasta again?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Is that like,
I just like saying canasta.
I think of it as like a game that the Golden Girls would play. Am I totally off base on that? Like it's like shuffleboard and
like
canasta.
Bridge.
Yeah, okay. It is
like
a card
bridge.
Game.
Yeah. It's an obnoxious card game. That's what it is.
I don't get the whole bridge obsession. People are nuts about bridge.
I don't know. I don't know anything about bridge. I wouldn't know how to play bridge. I have no idea.
You have to play with a partner.
You have to play with a partner.
You play with a teammate, yeah.
Okay.
And
do you know we're actually talking about bad card games now and, and not sports? Yeah.
Like 3 seconds into the show.
See?
See
how I did
someone.
That?
It could be like an Olympic event one day, you know, cross your fingers. Sort of like dressage.
Should we
just do that for the next hour and 10 minutes? Just talk about the most random sports we can. Not like there's World Series. Not like there's National Hockey League, National Football League.
No. No, let's
basketball.
Not do that. Let's talk about
is
the
basketball
games
the random sport we're going to talk
actually,
about tonight?
No, I actually took the time. Yeah, well, we did last week, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
I actually took the time to watch as much of all three games as possible, humanly possible, without missing anything, and I think I did pretty well for myself.
I saw a small bit of the hockey game. It was not my focus. There's so little baseball left in the season that that's where I'm at right now.
And football's already halfway through.
Yeah.
So
pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it is halfway through.
Yeah.
Everything.
If you include the bye week.
Exactly. Which we'll include. And again, you know, you talk about complaining as Montrealers that the three professional teams went 0-3 on the weekend. Imagine being in St. Louis right now, where you have your football team and your baseball team.
Not to mention...
Hi, Eric Thomas!
Hi, Eric Thomas!
How's it going, guys?
Wonderful. How are you?
Very good.
Good.
Very good. Not to mention the University of Missouri Tigers football team, who up until this weekend was undefeated at 7-0 and number 5 in the country.
I did not know that.
Yep.
It's a bad week. It's a bad week to have a giant arch in your city.
Although Mo Khan, Eric, was explaining to us on the morning show this weekend that... both Montreal football teams lost as well on Saturday. So it was really 0-5 if you wanted to count the non-paid athletes as well. It's, tough times, I guess. But I'm blown away by this World Series. And
it's been a great World Series.
We have to start with David Ortiz, who is 11-15 in the World Series right now.
Mm-hmm.
And would have been 12-15 with a Grand Slam if not for Carlos Beltran's ridiculous catch. Those numbers are unheard of.
Right.
I see that the last time somebody hit like this in the World Series was Billy Hatcher in 1990.
Yes. They're starting to call him Señor Octubre.
Which I thought they've been calling
Which
Beltran.
Is racist, I think. I'm not sure.
I don't know if it's as racist as much as it is Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah. It's racist. I have a trivia question.
Do you?
Yeah.
We don't have anything for our listeners, though.
Except for
our undying love and gratitude.
Fine. Then let's do it for fun.
Okay.
For fun's sake.
Okay.
In, this was game 5.
It was.
Game 3.
Okay. You were really torn there between 4 and 3, huh?
Game 3, where we had our first bizarre ending.
The obstruction play. Correct.
What is it that...
You know an NHL ref would have called it embezzlement, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yadier Molina
is
running in from third base. What mistake does he make? He actually makes a mistake on that play that enables his team to win the game.
That's your
trivia question.
All right. 514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546. Thank you. I don't know why I blanked on that.
Do you know what it is, E.T.?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah,
maybe
he makes a mistake
that I'm not going to guess
that allows his team to win the game.
No, I have absolutely
It's not
no
necessarily
idea.
A mistake, but he should have done something that he didn't.
And that enabled the Cardinals to win.
To win. So his mistake allowed his own team to win that game.
Huh. I wonder what it is. I'm guessing, well, I maybe we'll leave it to the listeners, but I want to say it's advancing to third when...
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Okay, we'll leave that to the professionals that are on the line. We'll see if we can draw a few up. We've got a good show tonight. We've got a lot of fun things planned. We've got Torben Rolfsson coming up in about a half an hour's time. Going to talk about Major League Baseball. Going to talk about the National Hockey League. Going to talk about Tiger Woods. He doesn't come up very often, you know.
Random
figure.
That's
in
too
sports.
Bad.
Yeah. Turns out that Tiger is no longer with EA Sports. So it's time to...
So he's not in the game.
Time to break out the old Lee Carvalho putting challenge.
EA Sports, he's not in the game.
Wow.
You get what I said? Did you hear it?
I got it. You should tweet it, Jay. At the Farrar side, you should
I'm sure
tweet
that's
that.
Already been done because it's such a bad joke.
I don't know.
That I'm sure somebody has already taken it up.
It's good enough for the Kaufman Show. I think it's good enough for Twitter.
It's not good enough for the Kaufman Show. I regret saying it already.
Well, it's definitely good enough for Twitter. Then.
Okay.
You have to admit. I mean... Where does the bar rest on Twitter? Because I'm pretty sure that tweet is above it, my friend.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, they let anybody tweet. They let Chris Brown tweet. There's no discrimination on Twitter. Anyone with thumbs can tweet.
They let Chris Brown beat?
Did I say that?
Did you say beat? Or you said tweet.
I said tweet.
Tweet. Oh, I heard beat.
Oh, well.
Not sure.
That too.
Yeah. All right.
That too.
Sorry about that.
Having fun, Jay?
Yeah, I am. All right. I am. I'm, you know.
No, I don't.
I'm in one of my non-caring moods.
Yeah,
so be careful.
I can see that.
Somebody's going to get offended tonight.
Oh, good. Well, let's get the callers in then. Let's get them coming fast and furious.
Yeah. That's it. All right.
Line them up. That's always fun.
Line them up, Dave.
Where are you? Yeah. All right. Well, once again, we've got a big show here tonight. Very excited to bring you guys the Kaufman Show tonight on TSN Radio 690. You can follow me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show. Jay Farrar is at the Farrar side. Thoughts on the Habs game?
Well, I mean, they're playing an awful team. You know, I mean, I've never seen such a deadbeat home opener in my life. I don't know if you were watching the ceremonies before. The ceremonies. I used air quotes on that.
I watched
the
it.
The ceremonies.
I watched it. They were playing it to a song that the Habs used to skate out to back in the day.
Right.
The City of Blinding Light by U2.
It was very much an early 1990s kind of production.
Well, and then they just stood in a circle and did the end of game thing that they're known for.
Yeah, which is fine. That's okay because, you know, we... In this city, I think we have a tendency to over... I know other NHLs look at us. Toronto does a lot and say, well, kind of envious how we have these great opening ceremonies.
Except for opening night this year, which was terrible.
I'm starting to find them all terrible. They're getting a little bit cheesy and a little bit pretentious now.
Well, this year's was everybody go out and hold the torch.
Yes. Well, they've done that before.
Really? I thought it's the
captain. They did it last year, too.
They did that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the same, basically
very
the same
original
thing.
Then. Good.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know, the torch thing. I don't know. Anyways. When it comes to the New York Rangers, I mean, this is the newly rebuilt Madison Square Garden.
Hey, if the charter comes in, are the Habs still allowed to have the torch?
I don't know. Does it count as a religious item?
You know, that's a debate.
No. And anyway, bottom line is it was lame. It was lame today. It was really lame.
And then after the 40-minute ceremony, there was a hockey game played as well.
Yeah. Two of your best players are in suits on the bench. They just got pawned off like the trainers did. You know? And your captain, Ryan Callahan.
Did you not have, like, visions of the Expos? Seeing that the Rangers were playing their first home game after 10 games.
Yeah. The Rangers actually played games in Puerto Rico before they played this game.
Eric, let's take a break. I think John Kakalakis has a sports update coming up for you guys. This is TSN 690. You're listening to The Kaufman Show. We'll be back.
I love you.
back on the Kaufman Show, TSN 690, from the beautiful corner of René Lévesque and Papineau, right off the water, Delormier Downs adjacent. That's how I like to look at it. As I stare at my co-host Jay Farrar with his
stop staring at me
beautiful Expos hat.
Ah, yes.
I'm staring at the hat, not at you.
Okay.
The hat just happens to be on
I'm
you.
The littlest creeped out now.
It's going to be one of those shows, huh?
It is.
All right. We'll roll with it. I'm sure it'll be fun. I wish I could get more excited about the Red Sox being one win away from a World Series championship, but they just don't turn my screws, man.
No, not anymore. They haven't in a long time. The Red Sox, to me, are the Yankees now.
That's it.
It's just not fun anymore.
With beards.
With beards.
And on a team with those beards, with beards as crazy as those, you'd think the guy named Jacoby would have the bushiest and thickest
right.
beard, and he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
And you'd think they'd force Uehara, who they keep calling Uehara on TV. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be like Wahara or Wehara.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that he pronounces it Wehara.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. He's 38 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Grow a beard.
Is he 38?
38.
I think he is. He is growing a beard.
Really?
Yeah.
Slowly.
It's just, it's not.
Very.
He's got a baby face.
Very slowly. 38 years old. I saw Jonah Carey tweet earlier that when has a player had his greatest season ever at 38? Shown the world how dominant he is at 38.
Mm-hmm.
My answer was Sid Finch.
Sid Finch.
I saw somebody else write Roy Hobbs.
Roy Hobbs. How about Grover Cleveland Alexander?
I think he was good well before his 38th birthday.
He was. He just had a good... No.
Was Reagan 38 when he played him? What's the deal on that one?
I don't know.
I don't know, man. I really hope this series goes seven. Mm-hmm. Michael Wacha is pitching
mm-hmm.
on Wednesday night,
mm-hmm.
game six at yep. Fenway. I think that's going to be just a dandy.
Let's
I'm
get a
so
game
excited,
seven.
Man.
Let's get a game seven. I
want
to see a
I want
game
seven.
Seven.
I always want seven. Then it's the coin flip.
Yeah.
Halloween.
It would be on Thursday, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it would be on Halloween.
Right.
That would be a heck of a way to ring in Halloween.
And if they do play on Thursday,
yes.
we'll have all four major sports going at the same time, if I'm correct. Isn't the NBA starting on Thursday?
NBA actually starts tomorrow night.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
The Chicago Bulls will be in Miami to take on the two-time defending champions.
Unbelievable.
So on Wednesday, we'll have all four major sports going. Well, no, Thursday would have to because there's an NFL game on Thursday.
There is.
So it'd have to be Thursday for all four major sports to be going at the same time without it being exhibition play.
That's pretty cool. That yeah. And plus, you know what? Want to throw one in there? I think the Impact play on Thursday, don't they?
There
first
you go.
Ever playoff game as yeah. a member of the MLS.
So plus correct. The MLS, so we can call it the Big Five, really.
Yeah, the most important game in Impact MLS history.
It's funny, the most important game in Impact MLS history was on Sunday when they weren't even playing.
That's true. Kind of squeaked in, but you know what? Not bad for a second-year franchise.
No, it's very impressive for yeah. a second-year franchise.
Toronto FC.
yeah, and, yeah. And the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Right.
But, I mean... This is the definition of backing into the playoffs. And that's always a skip. Well, yeah, but you like to go with the maxim that good teams make the playoffs and hot teams win championships.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you, let's say you don't...
We're number six.
You don't clinch on the field. Either way, it's still a question of mathematics. So it doesn't matter how you do it in the end. It's just a little more exciting when you do it in front of the people.
Is that one of those, like, you win your games in April and they mean just as much as they do in September?
Sometimes they do.
All right.
Sometimes they do.
514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546. This is the Kaufman Show. Jay Farrar, Dave Kaufman here with you. Want to talk some sports? Want to talk life? Want to just, you know, tell us what's going on in your world? We're here for you. It's what we like to do. I, for one... would like to talk a little bit about PK Subban because it seemed interesting on Twitter tonight that he was not being utilized properly once again.
Okay.
And I'd like to get your take on this, Jim.
Do you really?
Yeah, why not?
I've spent,
you said you wanted to piss people off.
I've spent
so
a lot of
chance.
My own time recently talking about
you have, the... and I'll be honest with you, kudos to you for that. I think it's something that we've discussed on the show as well.
It is, yeah.
But I don't think that... racism is the reason that he's not getting enough minutes on the power play.
No.
I think it might be a reason that we see people in the media disparage his abilities.
Mm.
But I don't think, I mean, I don't think it's an internal issue inside the Montreal Canadiens dressing room. Come on. I'm goading you.
I was watching the baseball game a lot. let me see. There's one thing that people don't understand, you know, and, you know, I'm all aboard on this thing that, that PK Subban doesn't get a fair shake when it comes to media itself and journalists in this town and in other
towns,
especially other towns, actually.
Yeah, I'd say more outside of the city than
but
here.
We get a little, you know, it happens here once in a while, you know, and depends. It doesn't matter on what side of the media, French or English, you're on. But there is one thing that people...
You make it sound like it's two different teams.
No, well...
French, English versus...
I hope it's not. I really hope it's not. But the way some people make it sound, it is sometimes. But the point is that a lot of people, they overlook the fact that PK Subban is still very, very young. Very young. Very young. And sometimes, especially when it came to that episode of 24CH where Michel Therrien reamed him out a little bit, I never had a problem with that. I never had a problem. He's like, come on. It wasn't like he was making PK look foolish. He was like, come on, man. You know better than this. You know better than this. And he's pushing
That's just high expectation.
It's right? High expectation, and he's pushing his young player. Remember that a defenseman, you see Galchenyuk, he's in there. He's having a very good season, although, you know, he hasn't scored many goals. He's only scored one, I think, so far. But he's having a good year with Eller and Gallagher. These are forwards. And if anybody knows anything about hockey, you realize that defensemen develop a lot slower than forwards do. So if
they have so much more of a chance to be, you know, at fault.
Right. Right. Because you're playing a two-way game, especially a guy who's an offensive defenseman like PK Subban is. You know, he's not totally a stay-at-home like Murray or Georges would be. You know, this is a guy that goes out on the power play, who also goes out on the penalty kill. And who's usually there at the end of the game. Sometimes,
I love that you just named Murray first.
What?
Just like that Murray's the...
Well, because he gets a bad rap because he's a really slow skater. Like, he's slower than...
Murray Barron.
Molasses.
Darren Fletcher.
Uphill.
Yadier Molina.
In minus 30 degree weather.
Okay. Yours works too.
Yeah. Yadier Molina. Nobody's answered my question yet. Answer my question.
Well, no, but you probably shouldn't prompt it when Eric's not sitting there to pick up the phone.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Don't.
He's gone right now. We are flying with Eric and off. Yeah.
Anyway, so my point is that sometimes they're going to use PK Subban in a way that may not be completely orthodox. I mean, how many guys that are, what is he, 23 now? Is he 23?
I think so.
Right. I mean, yes, he's won a Norris Trophy, but a Norris Trophy, you know, as prestigious as it is, you're still learning.
Of course.
You're still learning, you know? You can win a Hart Trophy. Ovechkin, Crosby, Gretzky. These are guys that won Hart Trophies at a very young age. But you're still progressing. You're still learning. And I'm just saying that.
Oh, it doesn't mean that you win the Norris Trophy. Doesn't mean you're the greatest defenseman of all time.
No, it doesn't.
Nobody defers to you from here on out.
It doesn't. But
it means he was the best defenseman last year.
Right. And people have a tendency to say, well, he's a Norris Trophy winner. You don't need to tell him anything. Why is he not on the ice for 35 minutes a game? Well, there's a reason for that. I'm not a professional hockey coach, so I can't tell you the reason for it, but there's got to be a method behind the madness for a guy who's that age.
Well, if somebody's playing 35 minutes a game in October, I don't want to see their energy levels in April or May.
That's another thing. That's another thing. And the Canadiens played very responsibly defensively today. And how about that Peter Budaj, huh?
Ned Flanders, man. the magic of Ned Flanders.
Is it?
Isn't it still on his helmet?
Yeah, it is. Okay, yeah. Okay, I was trying to figure out Ned Flanders. I'm trying to make a connection here.
He was praying.
He was great tonight, Ned. Canadians played a very responsible defensive game. So what's everybody bitching about on Twitter for? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Oh, Jay.
PK's going to get his shot.
Where's the bar on Twitter?
There is no bar on
right,
Twitter.
Right, so.
There is no standard.
It's a day that ends in Y, so people are going to complain.
Nice.
This is the Kaufman Show. Jay Farrar, Dave Kaufman, Eric Thomas behind the board. John Kakalak is helping us out. And Joel Plaskett taking us out. We turn the music up, roll the windows down. Welcome back. It's the Kaufman Show on TSN 690. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you till 1 a.m. That is our new finishing time on the Kaufman Show. No more of those crazy
4 a.m.
crazy 4 a.m. benders, Jay.
Marathons.
I mean, if something happens, obviously we'll be around.
Well, then we stick on, yeah.
But the directive from high on up above, 1 a.m.
Yeah, well, that's good.
My body clock thanks you.
Yeah. We can squeeze all our greatness, condense it into an hour and a half.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. And of course, once football season's over, we'll be 11 to 1-ing it. 11 to 12 will be game night OT.
Game night OT.
That starts this week. Very excited for that.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, Matthew Ross, game night OT. Although I think the Habs are playing, aren't they?
It'll be both.
Oh, yeah? Okay, yeah. That's still going to happen?
So Matthew is going to jump on after the Habs are done here tomorrow night at home.
So he'll have game night OT and then game points. And on Wednesday, Amanda Stein will be hosting game night OT. Thursday will be me. Friday will be Sean Coleman. Should be a lot of fun.
When's my turn?
I don't know. I don't know. Aw. We're making, what? Why am I feeling bad? What the, come on. That's not fair. Your turn's right now, Jay. Make it count.
All right. No. I am not prepared.
Let's talk about taunting, Jay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to taunt you for a minute.
A la Golden Tate?
Yeah, a la Golden Tate. The only real play that they'll be talking about tomorrow for the Monday Night Football game was the Golden Tate taunting, penalized for taunting, but touchdown. He basically wagged his finger at the safety for 30 yards.
He didn't wag his finger. He kind of waved at him and then kind of made the... You know, you're mouthy with your
hand.
Oh,
that's what that was.
Thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like you've been talking all game.
Yap, 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 yeah. Yap.
Yeah. Now, Golden Tate is a great receiver. Well, he has. He was the only one who made any kind of a decent catch. What was that? Oh, that was an 80-yard catch in, what, 39 attempts or something tonight? So
can we go with he was a great college receiver?
Yeah, okay.
More than a great receiver?
We can do that.
Okay.
We can do that. Today he was a great receiver.
Fine.
Okay.
He made a great reception.
Yeah. And he did last year, too, against Green Bay as well.
Yeah, there's still debate as to whether that was
an
actual touchdown.
Well, the two referees are still there.
That's
right now. The two judges are still there.
One with two arms in the air and one just going, no.
Anyway, obviously somebody was yapping at him all game, and he probably had enough about it.
Rodney McLeod was the defender.
Right. He started this, like, I think it was like at the 40-yard line he started doing this. And I'm not really much for taunting, whatever, but if you're going to do it, I would suggest starting it a little bit later. I'd say maybe at the 15, at the 10.
Well, once you know for sure you're good, and frankly, it was close at the end.
Yeah.
He almost got knocked out of bounds,
and
he definitely got knocked on his ass.
Would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
A disaster if that happened. And we've seen, it's not like things like that have never happened before in the NFL.
Well, it's the Don Beebe, Leon Lett.
There's the Leon Lett, I mean, more recent.
Yeah, because that was 20-something years ago.
ditching the ball before you got to
My God, was that the Whitney Houston Super Bowl that happened in?
What?
The Leon Lett?
No, that was 1996.
Oh, okay, it was a little later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes?
What was I saying? Yeah, so.
Taunting.
Eh. It's not really necessary.
It's so classless.
Yeah, and I just, some of these football players, everybody thinks that it's a stereotype out there, ugh, big, dumb football players. There are not very many bright football players from what I'm seeing these days. Yeah. I mean, what is going on with these guys?
Oh, I don't
just
know.
Just imagine what would have happened if this guy got knocked out of bounds, which all of us were kind of hoping he would.
Well, it would have been a come on, man moment.
And also,
come on, man.
It would have been more than come on, man. It would have been like, oh, my God, you should never play in the NFL ever again. But that's not. And you know what? To be fair to Golden Tate, we don't know what this guy was saying to him. We don't know what he called his mother earlier on in the game, or what he said to him to get him going like that. And perhaps this was his way of casting a little bit of sweet revenge. But at the same time, man, that would have been the game
funny.
Right there.
That's funny.
You know,
514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546. Let's go to the chef, Andrew in Montebello. Hello, Andrew.
How are we doing, boys?
We are well.
Jay, what was your question again you were asking earlier?
What is it during game three or at the end, the climactic, bizarre ending of game three of the World Series? Yadier Molina was the man coming in from third base. What mistake, or what can be perceived as a mistake, did he make which allowed his own team to actually win?
He didn't run the catcher.
That's right. Excellent. Well done,
Chef.
Because if he runs the catcher, basically the play is going to be dead there. No one's running forward afterwards, no throwing error afterwards, and they win the game. There's no interference afterwards on third base. But it was great that they finally got the calls right. And that's one of the things I really appreciated in this World Series. And
umpires have been great.
They have been incredible. To a point you say, do you
except
really
for maybe
need,
the strike zones, but okay.
Really, really need a video replay when everybody can actually get together and get a call right, and it's no more of this macho crap that, oh, I made the call, it's my call, I'm going to die with it. And people would actually have perfect games not taken away from them
right.
for a stupid call on a last out in a perfect game.
It's funny that you mentioned that because the class of this umpiring crew is Jim Joyce, who missed that call on Armando Galarraga.
Well, it's
the same guy. And that just shows that one call, I mean, you cannot blame a guy who makes 30 years worth of calls. You're going to blow a call. It's going to happen. But there was a bang-bang play at first last night, and Joyce was the first base umpire. And all I could
great
think...
Great call.
Yeah.
Got it right, exactly.
That's
yeah.
right.
Great call.
He got it right. And all I could think was somewhere, Armando Galarraga is watching that and smiling ear to ear.
Or maybe not. He might be pulling a Golden Tate. By the way, what I said about Molina now... I mean, I personally believe that that's a base running mistake. Other people would say, well, no, it's not. But I know that I was yelling at the screen before Saltalamacchia threw it to third base. I was already yelling. I'm like, run him over. What are you doing? It's a game ending play. You're in the World Series. You got to knock that ball loose.
And then followed quickly by eat it.
Yeah.
As in, you do not throw that ball.
That's right. Eat it. And it was gone.
And that's why David Ross... has been in the last two games.
Yeah.
And that's David Ross had an RBI tonight.
Yeah.
That's right.
Got a couple of hits tonight.
And a run on a play where my view of it was that he was safe. They're saying that they've seen enough video that he was conclusively out, but that's an example of a play that definitely would have gone to replay.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I really loved this weekend, guys, it was a weekend for moments in sport. It was many, many split-second decisions that there was one. He didn't run the guy down. And you've got Wong... trying to take a little bit more of a lead. Have to, because his point isn't that important. It's the guy who's up to the plate is the point he's got to get across.
That poor kid.
I know, exactly. Talk about a rookie error. But then you turn around like a few hours later, and we're talking about split-second decisions. You got Matt Stafford, which is like one of the games I actually stuck into the whole time, almost all afternoon. Play, he fakes out 50,000 plus people in the stadium, his own team, the other team, saying I'm going to down the ball, and walks it in. It looked like a game you would have seen in the park when you're about 10 or 12 years old playing with your neighbors who had never.
Oh, it was so impressive, Chef. Thanks for the call. It was I watched Stafford march down the field there. That was unbelievable. And of course, Megatron had 329 yards, finished 7 yards away from the record. That was an incredible finish.
He was so hyped. Nobody knew.
It made me think of Marino.
Yeah.
Remember that back in the day when Marino, it looked like they faked the spike. I think it was on a Monday night against the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Also probably 20 years ago, because
yeah.
that seems to be my reference point for tonight.
Right.
Let's go to
during the Whitney Houston Super Bowl.
That's
was it?
Right. Yeah. That's right. Exactly. I remember George Bush saying something about the aggression will
right.
not stand.
Hey, good job, Chef, on guessing.
That was very impressive.
People may not necessarily agree with me, but I know that if it's World Series, it's a game-ending play at the plate. That catcher, I got to run him over. I got to knock that ball loose.
We've got Alex in Shawmady on the line. Let's go to Alex. Hello, sir. Good evening. Hello, Alex. No Alex in Shawmady. There you are. Hello, Alex.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No worries, man. How are you?
Very good, thanks. How you guys doing?
We're well, man. We're good.
Too bad it wasn't in 96, Leon Lett.
It wasn't in 96?
No, it's more like 93.
Thank you. That's 20 years ago. There you go.
It just felt later to me.
You know, sometimes I just got to let Jay seem like he's right.
Yeah, well, I don't remember
the
much
cosmos
from
balances
the
out.
Late 90s anyway, so. Thanks, yeah, Alex. I appreciate it. I was too lazy to look it up on Google.
Of course, my bad. It was, because it's not like the Bills were in the Super Bowl.
Still not
way.
The Whitney Houston Super Bowl, though. That was 1991.
Okay, but the Bills were in that Super Bowl, weren't they?
Yeah, right.
So were the Cowboys.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, I'm not so dumb, right?
No.
That's why I'm on the payroll.
Not so dumb.
What else is going on, Alex?
Can I just say a quick thing?
Yeah, of course, man.
I went to the Monday Nighter in Buffalo a couple of years ago when Dallas was playing.
Oh, that must have been amazing.
Yeah, it was a great game. It came down to the last second, field goal. Then they called the timeout, so they had to re-kick it. Nick Foles was the kicker, 53-yarder, I remember. Anyhow, I was walking through the, what do you call it, the pregame thing when you eat with everybody?
The tailgate.
That's right. And a guy pulled me to the side. He was a Cowboys fan. He goes, "You know what the Bills stand for? Boy, I love losing Super Bowls."
Wow.
All right, guys, have a good night.
Thank you. We'll send that one out to Rod Francis.
Oh, he's going to love, boy, I love losing Super Bowl.
One more call, Eric, before our news update, or should we go? Actually, we should probably do John first, and then we'll go to Travis, because I want to give Travis his time. So John Kakalakis has a sports update coming up. This is the Kaufman Show. We've got a half an hour left. Join us. 514-790-1690.
Football, baseball, hockey, whatever you want. Canasta.
Canasta. Uno.
JLA.
Hi-a-lie.
No, it's JLA.
JLA.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, JLA.
Who is it? Charlie Lappin that sent me that. JLA.
JLA.
Hi-a-lie. I just know it from crossword puzzles, so I don't know. I never knew what the correct pronunciation of it is. 96 JLA. Boy, I'm a mess today.
It's your JLA postgame show on your home for the Habs. TSN 690.
Oh, yeah. I'm a midnight walk. Oh, yeah. Well, the waiting standing on a corner. It's coming 40 past the hour.
Welcome back. I almost said welcome home. Welcome home to the Kaufman Show on TSN 690.
JLA.
JLA. That could be your new nickname.
That was my name in the hood.
JLA. Yeah. Torben's supposed to be the funny one.
He's supposed to, yeah.
Well, he better be.
He will be.
You're on tonight.
He always is.
He killed it last week.
Yeah, he was good last week.
And we're going to, unfortunately, for Travis, who's been sitting on the line a while, although he's going to have a real good line listening in. I hope he called the 1-800 number when he called in, because we're going to go to Torben Rolfson first. Torben is our resident comedian, joins us every Monday on The Kaufman Show, live from sunny, beautiful, never rainy Vancouver. It's Torben Rolfson. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going, Jay, Dave?
What's up?
Not too much. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Watching some World Series, taking it easy, trying to have faith in Montreal's sporting teams. You know, the huge.
The huge. Troy Smith, you guys are backing the filthy Buckeyes of Ohio State now.
Well, I don't know if it was going that far. Is that like saying we're all Bears fans because of Trestman?
No.
What's your college?
Jeez, that was a little snippy there, Dave.
That's
it?
Just how Sorry. Sports is.
Sorry. Okay, I'll go back to being nice. Hi, Torben.
Hey, have you guys been watching the World Series at all?
No, yeah. I haven't seen a pitch.
Yes, you have.
Okay, haven't missed anything. What's going on?
Apparently, here? Torben's missed the first half of the show.
I actually usually do. And I did listen a little bit tonight. I usually like to listen to the whole thing on the podcast.
Okay.
But yeah, I listened a little bit tonight.
Well, yes, we were watching the baseball
of
game tonight,
you guys
and
have been watching baseball.
Yeah, it's my most prominent addiction.
Yeah.
So make me laugh with some baseball humor.
Yeah, I can't, but I'll talk about it anyway.
Okay.
I've been really enjoying it. It's just amazing. It's two teams I'm not really that interested in, but great stuff. For the first night ever in Boston sports history, the Red Sox got more tripping calls against them than the Bruins did.
That's good.
It's a good thing for the Cards, Alan Craig. He got that obstruction call because he was moving from third to home like a three-legged race. Seriously, he looked like Jack Nicholson in the hedge maze at the end of The Shining. Staggering. So where China towed away that zombie car covered in ivy. Wrigley Field wants its old bullpen car back. A new book says Sparky Anderson was blackballed from managing after 1995 from baseball because he wouldn't play scab baseball players. Also, baseball execs thought he was 100 years old.
Well, first of all, on the serious part of that one, I had no idea. I haven't heard that story.
It's an amazing story. I'll send it to you and your listeners. Google Sparky Anderson with the Reds. He managed the Cincinnati Reds when he was 35 to 44 years old. And you click on that, and he looks like he's, you know, your grandfather.
Yeah, totally. He looks like he's in his 70s.
It's unbelievable.
I thought he was 100 years old. I thought that was why he stopped managing.
Me too. I know. NBA owners approved the 2-2-1-1-1 series format for the finals.
Yeah, saw that.
They spent 20 minutes trying to explain it to the Charlotte Bobcats before throwing up their hands in the air and saying, what's the point? The Raptors and Bucks, they had to quit because the playing surface was too slippery. Yeah, that's the same excuse the Buffalo Sabres are using.
<That's right>. Nice.
Roger Goodell says he wants NFL franchises in both L.A. and London. They could be a significant revenue of new fines.
Excuse me?
Excuse me?
Was that the punchline?
It might have been.
Oh, no.
It might have been.
Oh, no!
Well, I mean, oh, no, what's wrong with me? I didn't get the joke, but then I look across and Jay didn't either. So
no,
can you say it one more time?
It's not your guys' fault. No.
Last time
I repeated a joke and shouted it, Jay had made fun of me.
No, oh, come on. Don't blame me.
No, I'm not. I enjoyed it, actually. It was very funny.
Anybody who wants to relive this moment, the podcast will be up after this show.
We know Torben doesn't.
No, I do.
Kennedy's
cousin Michael Skakel getting a new trial for a 70s murder he was convicted of 11 years ago from his prison cell in Nevada. O.J. Simpson says, if you let me out too, I'll be happy to search for the real killer.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Right back at it, Turbin.
That's right. It's funny because he's a murderer. The Portugal-Sweden World Cup playoff draw ensures either Cristiano Ronaldo or Zlatan Ibrahimovic will be out. Regardless, grilled sardines will advance. I knew that would be super popular.
Oh, boy.
And finally, after,
there are nights where I think you just come up with them on the fly.
Finally, after 15-plus years, EA Sports is dropping Tiger Woods from the title of its golf game. It's about time Carl Spackler got his due.
Nice.
I thought it was going to go back to Lee Carvallo's putting challenge. No, that's okay. I guess that's fair, right? If I don't laugh at his, he doesn't have to laugh at mine.
Yeah, you're suck too, you know? You can suck too, Kaufman.
Torben Rolfson, the Kaufman Show's resident in-house comic. Next week featuring drum fills once again, I promise. Torben, follow him on Twitter at VanGuy. Thanks so much for your time, Torben.
Happy Halloween, Montreal. Have a great night, guys.
We'll do our best.
Thanks. Bye.
Can I do a shout-out?
You can shout. Should let it all out.
Speaking of 100 years old.
Yes.
This Saturday, November 2nd, 2013, my grandmother, Frances Agnes Farrar, will be turning 100 years old.
Whoa.
100 years old. So, little shout out to you, Grandma. happy birthday. All the best to you. And I will see you hopefully this week.
That is so awesome.
100 years, 1913.
I don't think I've ever met anybody who's 100 years old.
No.
I don't think I have.
No.
Have you?
No, she will be the first person that I've actually met who is actually 100 years old. Yeah. Well, who I know.
If she was a big baseball fan, she might have faint memories of the last time that the Red Sox.
Huge baseball fans.
Well,
in fact, she has old tickets. You speak of Delorme Downs.
Yeah.
She has old ticket stubs to see Montreal Royals and Jackie Robinson somewhere in her house, which I need to ransack without her permission.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Quiet down, Grandma. I'm looking for stuff. Oh, dear, you shouldn't be in there. That's how she talks, like a typical grandmother.
Right.
Right. Anyway, she's got all these old ticket stubs from Delorme Downs, and she used to go see, well, my grandfather did. He passed away about 35 years ago, but they used to, huge baseball fans. My grandfather had a radio in his hospital room till his dying day, listening to the Expos back in 1979, and they were just getting good, too.
Oh, wow.
Just getting good.
Well, your grandmother was five the last time the Red Sox had the chance to win a World Series at Fenway Park.
There you go.
Babe Ruth, 5 years old. Babe Ruth was pitching for them back then.
That's right. 1918.
Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Travis in North Carolina on the line. Hello, Travis.
Hello, Dave and Jay.
How are you?
I'm great. I did decide to call the 514 number because I thought, you know, phone companies really need our support.
Oh, yes, they definitely do.
Yeah.
They need every nickel they can get.
Yeah, I hate to disagree with the chef, but I am in favor of expanded replay in every possible situation.
So am I.
You know, although, to be fair, I'm not exactly the biggest traditionalist in the world. I've mentioned this previously. I'd be perfectly happy with steroid-ridden pitchers and catchers and everybody just going nuts. But
yeah, but not shortstops, right?
No.
We've got to have our limits.
That's too much. I don't honestly see the excuse. I mean, yes, the umpiring in this series has been pretty good. But it's not always the case.
No.
And it's not just in baseball. I mean, you look at tonight, the Habs game. Yeah, I mean, Galchenyuk's goal probably was kicked in. You know, it probably shouldn't have counted, but they did review that. So I guess that's a mark against replay. But
well, hold on. That we're talking about hockey and baseball now, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's not confusing at all, is it?
Well, you don't often kick pucks in baseball.
No, but I mean, they have it in hockey. It's there for a reason.
Yeah,
and there's an ambiguity as far as the kicking motion rule. That's not to do with instant replay, though.
Yeah, you're talking about rules that are open to interpretation, like the interference rule that we saw put forth in Game 3, where you really got to look at the way the guy's legs are moving. And how you would interpret that? I'm starting to sound what's his name? Jeez,
you know that guy that says things on the radio.
Colin Campbell.
There you go.
I'm starting to sound like Colin Campbell, like that
Rory
other guy,
Calhoun.
Jai Alai.
Always
you know that
pants.
Guy,
Jai Alai.
Yeah. I'm starting to sound like Colin Campbell because I'm going to interpretation of the rule, but the interpretation of the interpret.
Is Jai Alai your porn name, Jay?
No.
Is that what just happened?
No, my porn name is Freddie Avenue, but that's a story for a whole different kind of time.
Of course it is.
And I think my grandmother's listening, so we should probably not be talking about that.
No.
Yes.
No. I was saying poor name.
Yeah. Dave, you just do the rest of the show. I'm just going to sit here.
Travis, I have no problem. I want instant replay across the board in baseball. I would take it on every play. The only problem with that is that it would turn a 2-hour and 40-minute game into a 3-hour and 40-minute game.
Yeah, I mean, the time excuse is mostly bunk, but at the same time, there is a happy medium, and the happy medium is not turning into an NFL game because that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That should be the absolute warning. That should be the cautionary tale for everybody else to not emulate is NFL.
But we don't want, I mean, there's a reason they put in a 2 extra umps on the field in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, to make sure that they call the infield fly when it's in left field.
Nice.
Fair enough. Although that really did just screw the Braves, didn't it?
Which I am perfectly fine with.
Exactly. Eric, oh, no, I forgot. Oh, Eric, and I love you so much,
yikes,
man. I love
ouch
having you here. Maybe you should do the rest of the show, Jay. I just pissed off our producer.
You know, we can use the NFL as an example here, and there is a point that you bring up about the game being longer.
I think these instant replays are really, really slowing down the NFL.
They are.
And I don't know, some people argue with me about it, and I'm like, wow. Dude, I mean, there's got to be a limitation on what, you know, what is, you know, solid, what an umpire's decision or a referee's decision is solid, and it is what it's supposed to be. But then opposed to like looking over every single chintzy little play, you know, is this a catch? Is it 2 feet in? That's why I think NFL should actually change the rules to having 1 foot in like CFL. Makes life a lot easier, I find.
Maybe the problem with the NFL is that they have the video replay on site and not a centralized location.
The CFL field is so big that they allow them to use 1 foot inbounds because they need more space?
Yeah, why not?
No, that just, no.
1 foot in. It's easier that way.
Because then guys,
you made the catch, you deserve the touchdown.
Because then guys like Jordy Nelson, who are known for keeping their feet in while extending their body out of bounds, that's an art. That's something that I think is an amazing facet of the National Football League.
Catching an NFL touchdown is an art either way you look at it, you know? It'll stop a lot of this replay stuff, though. It would, because now you got to look at 2 feet instead of 1 foot. Staying in bounds.
Hey, you're cutting off half a foot there.
Well, you are when you're cutting off times, but you're right. You're right, Travis, about it being centralized, and you know they have their big headquarters there with all their computer screens and all that.
Yeah.
That's why it's taking so much time for the darn referee to run off the field. First of all, discussing it with the other guys. Then they got to go all the way down to the camera, put the thing over the head. They're like they're some 19th century photographer.
Poor us.
It's so creepy.
It's Matthew Brady. That's
amazing.
And
it takes entirely too much time.
Doing a daguerreotype.
And that's what I'm afraid that they're going to do with baseball, though. That it's all going to be like they are doing already with the home runs.
Yeah, they go in. They go into the catcher's club. They check out the play on a screen. They come back out, and they either wave their fingers in the air or they don't. And I'm perfectly fine with that.
Well, what about
technology
but
allows
it's the egos
that.
Of the umpires and the referees that are not entirely good with that. They feel as if it's their game.
They're wrong.
You know?
They're wrong, and they would rather be humbled for a second than known for a lifetime for making a bad call. Thanks for the call, Travis. We appreciate
Good
it.
Point.
Let's go to Mike in St. Leonard, and then we are going to call it a night on the Kaufman Show, which means that, Eric, we're going to go out on the last track.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Hello.
What's happening?
Oh, you know, same old.
Same old, same old.
Same old. Lovely Monday.
To speak about our favorite subject and go back to the beginning of the show, PK Subban.
Ah!
I know you tried to goad Jay and he wouldn't bite, but... Nah. Maybe I'll bite a little bit. You know what?
It's as if the Farrar side has already said his piece.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, he makes a good point, especially about PK being young. But I wouldn't be so dismissive of the fact that he won the Norris Trophy. That's not something you just could dismiss and say, well, he's a young guy, he has a lot to learn. That trophy means a lot. And when you look at the list of players who won that, that's not a fluke. He's really good. And so when fans don't see him getting most of the minutes on defense, you're going to get questions. And the questions always come back to why. And we never really get an explanation, especially since Markov's getting older. And last year took a toll. In the playoffs, he was done.
Mm-hmm.
He was done by the time that happened. They overused this guy. Even to just give him 3 minutes less and split it up against someone else is fine. I don't think it has anything to do with racism that much. You know?
Hold on. I don't think it has anything to do with racism that much.
No, you know what it is? Because some people, especially now, and Jay's touched on this before, and you too, Dave, some people are racist and they don't know. Like, when on RDS, the year before Therrien took the job, he would say things, and you never know where it's coming from. You don't know, like, why he doesn't like him. You know, of course, he's a hot dog. He's, you know, he could be more responsible. But at some point in time, there's like an underlying theme. And the only reason why I say that is because he had the same problem with Lars Eller, too. So maybe he has a problem with European guys or Danish guys. I don't know. And it's taken a long time for him to warm up to Lars Eller as well, also.
Who likes the Danes? I mean, come on.
Yeah, but you know what it is?
With their wooden shoes.
Their hands. The Dutch.
Oh, whatever.
The Dutch.
Told you, I'm racist against them, too.
But you know what? You watch these games. And you see him, you know, Bornival scores, has a great assist. Galchenyuk has a great goal. What does Therrien do? He goes up and he slaps him on the back. People just want to see him do that to PK once. You know, all the discipline is great, but just a little bit of encouragement in public, just to show people that you're not going to be who we think you are. Make us, you know, change the topic a bit and say, oh, maybe he is appreciative of what he does. You don't have to like the people who are under you. You don't have to like the people you coach. but a little bit of respect goes a long way. And I think I would just try it once and see how he would respond to that. How would PK respond with a little bit of encouragement on the bench? Maybe a slap on the back.
But we don't know. We don't know what happens behind closed doors,
no,
Mike. I mean, a 24 CH allows us to know a little more. But
come on, he's not. Listen, even in public, when he has a chance to praise him, he doesn't. I mean, it goes back to a couple of weeks ago. Someone had asked him after the game about Markov moving to Subban. And instead of saying, you know what, Subban's great and he can help Markov, it was Markov's better. Whoever plays with Markov gets better. So
yeah, but you know what? Maybe there's a method to the coach's madness in that. Because when he was the coach of Pittsburgh and young Crosby was showing his potential, it was Sidney this and Sidney that, and this guy's great and this guy's great and this guy's the best thing ever. Am I mistaken? Did that not happen?
No, that happened.
Maybe he learned his lesson.
You know, but
just a theory. Just throwing it out there.
He reaped the benefits of it. He went to a cup with the guy.
Pardon?
He went to the Stanley Cup.
Went to. Did not win. He went to.
Good enough. I mean, it's 30 teams. I mean, going to the Cup's not, you know, it's not a fluke.
The thing is, and Dave brings up the point that Mike.
No, but Bilsma was able to do what he could not.
Yeah.
Right?
When
a step further.
When I did what I did and I spoke about what I thought is happening with PK, my target was the media.
Yeah.
It was the media and the rest of the NHL in general because I can see what's happening.
It's clear.
It's clear.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to know what Therrien and PK Subban's relationship is. And that's why I can't really comment on it because I have no business commenting on it because I'm not there. I'm not in the room. I don't know.
This is true. I'm just commenting on what I see.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you see can completely be correct. But like I said, from what we see in public in the relationship between the two, it could be two opposite ends of the spectrum. It could be a coach who doesn't like this guy because he acts very uppity and he doesn't know his place and he's a cocky kid who needs to be put in his place. Or it could also be interpreted as a coach who sees a kid who is rising to his potential and is being hard on him in order to make him better because he knows what this kid can be, who he knows what this kid already is.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Call earlier next time. I feel like I said that to him a lot.
I love how that acoustic music came in right when I finished that sentence.
That's the brilliance of
Eric
Thomas.
I was bad there for a bit with the JLA in the 1996, but I think I made a great comeback.
JLA, you make it sound like it's like some, like a freedom fighting group or something, like the JLA.
No, I told you it's my name from the hood.
JLA.
From my hood days. There are no hood days.
I'd like to thank Torben Rolfson for joining us on the show tonight, as well as Travis in North Carolina and Andrew in Montebello, Mike in St. Leonard, Alex in Lachine. Was it Lachine? I think it was Lachine. The incredibly talented Eric Thomas on the board. Thank you, sir. John Kakalakis with the updates. And my awesome co-host, who you can follow on Twitter at the Farrar Side, Mr. JLA.
In the early days. Happy birthday, Grandma. Why you moved away? We'll hold a grudge. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. You hold a grudge anyway, because it's fun.
Davey and me, face down in our soup, some French restaurant, I saw Riviere de Loup. Last night at a tour, we burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
Listening to The Kaufman Show on TSN 690. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll see you next Monday night.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?